Okay, let's go to 1 John 4:7. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation on all of my scriptures tonight. I want to talk to you about six signs you're not trusting in the love of God. So we're going to troubleshoot. So anytime you see these things, you can go, I better check myself out, okay? So 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So, you know, we've been singing. Maybe some of you have, maybe some of you haven't, but I've been singing Jesus Loves Me since I was maybe 2 years old. Yes, Jesus loves me. How many of y'all? Okay, look, I mean, most of us sang that song. The question is, do you really believe that? Do you believe that Jesus loves you? It's very important, you know. And the verse said that God so loved us that he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. All of them. All the ones you did, all the ones you're going to do, they've all been paid for. Amen. Not that you would abuse that, but it's just the truth that he's taking care of everything. You know, God's love for you and God's love for every person is the reason that he sacrificed his son for mankind. It's because he loves us. And it's also why he sent the Holy Spirit to you. It's a gift to the, he is a gift. The Holy Spirit's a gift to the body of Christ. And if you need more proof in that, you can just stay right there in those scriptures. Look at 1 John 4:13-16, and we'll put it up here. God has given us a spirit as proof that we live in him and he's in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his son to be the savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. That's good. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. Church, you can never get away from God's love. No matter what you have done, no matter what you haven't done in your life, his love is always with you. He loves you. Is he always pleased? No, but he still loves you. There's been times you weren't pleased with your kids, but you still loved them. And he's the same way. And you just need to know that he always loves you. The situation here is that you can greatly hinder the effect of his love in your life by living and acting like you don't trust in that love. If you just act, you know, if you just, you know, you can just live like that. And so that's what I want to talk about. We can troubleshoot these six signs. So number one is this, when you blame God during challenges. And are we going to be able to put it up there or it's not working? Okay. So number one, when you blame God during challenges. So, you know, it's real easy to profess, you know, that God loves us when everything's going really well. But what about when challenges comes? Do you stick to the word? Do you stick to what you know? Or all of a sudden, are you asking, why did God let this happen to me? This is something that tests us. Well, how come God hasn't seen me through this yet? This is a sign that you're not trusting in his love. Because he does love you. And he will come through.
Yes.
Church, God is always right.
Yeah.
It's not him.
Right.
It's you. Mm-hmm. We just have to know that. So, you know, This isn't a new response. The disciples did the same thing. Remember when the storm threatened them when they were in the boat and, it was going to topple the boat. Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown? That's what they said. They were thinking the same thing. So this is nothing new. That's Mark 4:38. But if they had truly understood God's love for them, and they would, number one, recognize that Jesus is the Messiah and he's with them. And then number two, the storm was no problem for him to handle. Yeah. Did you get that? Jesus the Messiah is with you and the storm is easy for him to handle.
Yeah.
You're going to be all right. Oh, this has happened. The Messiah's with you. It'll be okay. Everything's going to work out. It'll be just fine. He will see you. This is when you need to trust in the will of God. James 1, 2 through 8 tells us how to handle a crisis. That's James 1, 2 through 8. I'm going to read it in the New Living. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea, and is blown and is tossed by the sea. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. Now that's good right there. And they are unstable in everything they do. So when challenges comes, you don't want to have divided loyalty, or the King James says what? A double-minded. You'd be double-minded. Double-minded is when you believe and then you don't. You believe and then you don't. And you're going back and forth. So it's hard to receive if you keep pulling your hands back. So you just have to get settled and stay in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So you want to trust the love of God to help you overcome all the obstacles. Now, I want to say something to you that's helped me a lot. There's a scripture in Timothy, 2 Timothy. Let me see if I have it here. 2 Timothy 1:12. This is the B part. It says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Okay? Now, the Lord taught me how to do something with that scripture. Whatever I commit to him, first of all, he'll keep. So let's say that you were maybe, we'll make up something here. Let's say you were overcoming a bad ankle, okay, and you had to walk 50 miles. And you knew that God had healed you, but it was manifesting, but it was taking a little time, but you had to walk. This is what the Lord showed me, which, by the way, I don't have a bad ankle, so don't go, oh, this pastor has a bad ankle. No, but I did walk over 50 miles for the last 10 days. I'll just say this. If a pain would strike me or if a pain would strike that person, keep. Yeah. Keep. You get a bill you weren't expecting, keep. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Just reach out there. Keep. You're almost offended. Keep. Just say it. Just try that. Just keep. That has helped me through so many things. Don't get off of it. He will keep me. He will keep me. So I just say keep. Praise the Lord. Number two, when you blame your lack of faith on your humanity. So, you know, you hear believers say this. I'm sure you've heard it. Well, you know, we're just only human. We're just only human. What a false statement. We are not just only human. We were before we were born again, but now we're born again believers.
Amen.
Amen. And we're a believer in the Most High God. So we're not only human. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece, that we're created anew. You're a new creation right now. You're full of power and glory right now. Right now, you have the power of God on the inside of you. You're not just a mere human. Like, well, you know, I couldn't help it. It was just my flesh. Yes, you can. Yes, you can if you want to. You're empowered to do it. Do you mess up? Yeah. But there's a lot of times you don't mess up because you're empowered. Right. You're living right now with power and authority right now. And you have the power to do whatever you need to do. So you're not just mere human. But when you start thinking that way, well, you know, I just don't know. And man, I've done this. I just don't know if my faith is working. I've thought that it's not God, so it's gotta be me. So I don't know about my faith. Man, that just turns something around in me. Nope, my faith is good. So if he's not the problem, and then I'm not the problem, then it's done.
Yeah. Come on. Oh, wow.
Come on. Yeah. You see that? Uh-huh. You see, there's that, you're falling back into that excuse. Okay, if you'll go ahead and say, God didn't do it. It's not God. Settle that.
Yeah.
It's not him causing the problem. He is the problem solver.
Yeah.
Right? Just get that old religious stuff out of, what if he's testing me? He doesn't test you with trouble. He tests you with responsibility. Yes, he does. He'll test you with responsibility, but he's not causing these problems. And then you go, well, I guess it's my faith. My faith is good. Well, then just go ahead and say, you know what? I'm not merely human. And the Bible says that if I have the faith of a mustard seed, I could say unto this sycamine tree, I'm sick of mine, you sick of yours, let's get something.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. And what does it say? If you have faith as a seed, you would say. You would say. And so I just was thinking last night about that. I thought, well, he's not wrong. And if I'm not wrong, then I have it.
Yeah.
Did that just clear? And then you're like, yeah, but no. I have it. It said I did. It said if I sowed, I would reap. It said that Jesus is the healer. It said the promises are yes and amen. So if these are the promises and they're true and I'm okay because we already know he's okay, then we have it.
That's right. That is right.
Glory to God. We're not going to blame our humanity. Right before his death, this is what Jesus prayed. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me. So that's us. Through their message, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. Now that's good. As you are in me, Father, and I'm in you, and that they may be in us so that the world will believe you sent me, I've given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I'm in them and you're in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Take that. Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me before the world began. That is John 17:20. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. So, never again consider yourself only human.
Amen. That's good.
Mm-hmm. You're not only human. You have the power. Every person listening to me has a measure of faith. Just use it.
True.
Just use it. Man, I've got some stuff to share with y'all. I can't do it tonight. It's going to take a little bit, but I need you to get ready because it's not shallow. I'm going to talk to you. I'll give you a little hint. I'm going to talk to you about the kinetic God. Okay. And the pedestrian God. Because if you can get him in both of these ways, your faith is just going to be really good. You got to see him pedestrian and you got to see him kinetic. You got to be able to unfold him and see what he's like. I can't get off on that. Let's get back to this. Okay. So here's the third thing. Number three, when you allow fear into your life, then you know you're not trusting in the love of God when you allow fear in your life, because love never fails. Think about that. God's love for you, his provision for you, his care for you, his interest in you never fails. He's interested in you. He's very interested in you. However, if you allow fear in your life, then you're denying that love. And when you deny that love, you open the door for the enemy to wreak havoc in your life. He'll come on in. That's how he gets in. Fear to the devil is like faith is to God. They're reciprocals. They work alike.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Fear actually can create the double-mindedness that we were talking about earlier. It actually does. It says, sure, God loves me, and then thinks, but maybe he wants me sick for some reason. How many people just get off the word because they don't immediately understand situations? I've heard people say this. I'm going to go ahead and go on out there on this, but people say, well, you know, so-and-so died early, but I guess it was just their time. That's not Bible.
No, it's not.
God didn't specifically give you a date that you're gonna die. It says you should live till you're satisfied. The problem is people's bodies kick them out early. And sometimes, even though they're faithing, they're behind on their faith and their body's racing, and then there's that war with their mind and all the reports they're getting and the pain they're in, and sometimes people just go on to heaven.
Yeah.
But to fall back on, well, maybe God did take them. Ooh, maybe it was God. No, it wasn't. The word doesn't say that. That's not what the word says. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and life more abundant. Draw the John 10:10 line and don't get off of it. Don't fall back on these things. Don't fall back in these fears. Don't fall back. And just because you don't know every answer, trust the love. He'll show you. He'll show you where, and y'all know it. I've told you hundreds of times. Things happen for three reasons. You make a bad decision. Someone around you makes a bad decision. And you live in a dark world. Those are the reasons bad things happen. But there's an answer and a wisdom for all those things to come out. How will you ever trust God if you don't know him and you don't know his love? You'll always wonder whether he's doing it or he's not doing it. Praise the Lord. If you turn away from fear and you turn toward God, and you turn toward the word, then you won't just manage fear. We don't want to just manage fear. People say, do it afraid. Just go ahead and do it and just do it afraid. No, no, no. Get rid of the fear. How? Perfect love cast out fear. Get to know how much he loves you and you won't fear. How many of y'all are afraid to die? Nobody. Why? You know where you're going. And here's the thing. You know you're not going to die. You may drop off the body, but you're not going to die. You're never going to die. You'll just feel better. A lot better. You just go, whew. My hair's going to grow long. I look like Jesse. It's coming. I know it. Hey, you don't have any fear of that, do you? Because he loves you and you believe that word. So why should we fear? If you don't have any fear of death, why fear anything else? What if I don't get my bills paid? What if you do? He loves you and he loves to help you with that. What if I don't reach my goals? You will. Because he's not going to fail. And if you'll get out of fear, you won't fail.
That's good. That's good.
A fear-free mind is a failure-free mind.
Yeah.
You get out of fear, you'll get out of failure. That's where it all lies. Don't be afraid. You don't have anything to fear. Amen. 1 John 4:18 says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We don't have to fear punishment. Jesus took the punishment. God is not punishing us. Number four, when you deny your right, if you start denying your right, you're missing the love of God. You're not trusting in it. You probably know Jesus as Savior, but have you considered that he's your advocate? Mm-hmm. When you do something wrong, he's there for you. Mm-hmm. He's there. Listen, you're going to fall short, but he's your advocate with the Father. He's the one. Listen to 1 John 2:1. My dear children, I am writing to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He's our Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. So see, Jesus didn't just fill the position, grudgingly or resentfully. He paid the ultimate price to hold that position for you and every other believer. He holds that position. He's holding that position saying, Father, they're right. And it's their right to be righteous. They've made a mistake. It's already been paid. If I buy your lunch, you're not going to go up and pay for it again. It's that simple. You're not going to pay. Unless you choose to. Unless you want to believe in some doctrine that messes you up. You can always run to God and get things straightened out. You always can. You can always go to him and he'll get you right back on the right path. Amen. So when you need forgiveness, you simply ask. Just ask. You'll receive it. You can go on. Number five, when you embrace hate and unforgiveness. If you embrace any kind of hate or unforgiveness, you are not trusting in the love of God. 1 John 2:9-11 tells us how important it is to walk in forgiveness. Listen to this. If anyone claims I am living in the light but hates a fellow believer, the person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. So, Jesus paid the price that you needed to be free from the enemy's hold on your life. And there are instances when you could invite the enemy back into your life. Amen. We're covered one way above. The fear we talked about is one way that would happen. Okay. And then the other way would be hatefulness and unforgiveness. Those two things put you back in that place that we're talking about where you don't want to go. Church, I heard Pastor George say this yesterday. I was watching Pastor George and Terry. He said, forgiveness is the same word as release. I release you. I release you. It doesn't mean that you necessarily forget, which a lot of people do say, oh, God, now God does forget. But there are certain things you may not want to forget. You know, kind of like if you bite me once, it's your fault. If you bite me twice, it's mine. You know what I'm saying? You want to use wisdom in your circle of people and watch how you flow with people and things like that. But just release. I started meditating on this, and I came to the conclusion that everything is about releasing seed. Forgive, give, words, actions, deeds, releasing. Everything is about seed, everything. So what happens when you release, remember over in the scripture it says in Mark 11:23, it says, verse 25 there says, when you stand praying, forgive so that Father will forgive you. Well, see, now, if you get too pedestrian with that, you're gonna say, well, if I don't forgive, God won't forgive me. He's holding it back. No, it's there. But it can't flow to you because everything comes to you because you release something. You have to be the water hose in everything. In words, in deeds, in sowing seed, in everything. Everything comes to you because you're releasing something. You receive that? You understand that? So when you release a person because they did whatever they did, excuse me, when you release them, that flow is there. That's why bitter people don't get healed. They're mad. And they end up dying early. Or they're sick all the time or something, you know. Because there's a blockage there. I would dare say that has to do with depression as well. Number six, when you give in to reckless words. This is the good one, you know. So, you're not trusting in the love of God when you give in to reckless words. So, we all know Jesus implied how important the words we speak are. He said this, the words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. That's John 14:10b. So, he's only speaking what the Father says. You only speak the good things. Whatever the Father told him to speak, he spoke. And so, look, being fully God, being fully human, he could have chosen to have those human urgings and say things that he shouldn't have said, you know, like we do. And then we start backtracking on every one of these six things. I'm only human, you know. But actually, you know, you're getting off the trail. This really helped me. This specific one really helps me a lot. Oh, I can catch myself if I'm, okay, you trust in the Lord? Are you trusting his love for you? Then why are you opening your big mouth and saying that? If you trust the Lord, you know he'll take care of you. You know you're healed. You know you're blessed. Reckless words lead to that double-mindedness stuff. To fear, to unforgiveness, to turning against God. Amen. That's just real easy. I don't have to say a whole lot about that. Everybody in here, you all get words. You have to watch what you say. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You're going to talk about your arthritis for 10 years, and you're going to have it for 20. You talk about your healing, you're going to have your healing. Talk about your prosperity, you're going to have prosperity. You talk about joy, you're going to have joy. You talk about favor, you talk about summer surprises, you're going to get a surprise. Amen. Hey, I've been there. Praise the Lord. You don't have those all mixed in like that, do you? I mean, you have the plain pictures, right? Okay, good. All right, so these are just the six things that you want to watch out that you don't give in to all the tendencies that are happening here. God loves you, period. So just think this. Just say, no, he loves me. No, he loves me. Well, what if we lose? No, he loves me. Well, what if? No, he loves me. Ouch, he loves me. Keep. Yes. Keep. Mm-hmm. He loves us. The more we trust in that love. Church, there's a law of draw on us.
Yeah.
You know, the New Age people, they call it the greatest secret. It's called the law of draw. Well, they call it the secret. Yeah, have y'all ever seen that? They call it the secret. We have the greatest secret. The law of draw is real. Your atmosphere, your frequency is drawing things. If you think you're a loser, you're going to lose. But I ain't going with you. I'm a winner and I'm going to win.
Amen.
Keep. He keeps me. He takes care of me. Have you ever heard someone say, well, she's just a kept woman? Or they're just a kept person? What does that mean? Everything's done for them. The money's supplied. The house is supplied. The whatever is supplied. Well, guess what? You're a kept child of God. You just stay in the keep. Stay in the keep. Stay in it. It's yours. Watch your words. Watch out about being double-minded. Catch yourself at that. Ask Holy Spirit to help you. Lord, just remind me. Holy Spirit, remind me. So you go, uh-oh. What am I? You gonna worry about that? Well, you weren't. Well, no. See, if the law of draw is working, people will be drawn to you. But if you're putting off some atmosphere and some frequency, now I'm not talking New Age here. I'm talking Holy Spirit, quantum life, kinetic stuff here that God created. He did. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about some of that on Sunday. I'm excited about it. But just stay in the keep. Just go, nope, he loves me. Shut up, devil, he loves me. If God loves you, who can be against you?
That's right.
What does it mean? What does it matter? Nothing. Well, I think everybody in the church hates me. Well, first of all, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Because I know Deb loves you, even if all the rest of us. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I love you. I missed y'all. But I tell you, even if nobody loved me, Jesus would. But because he loves me, other people do love me. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody approves of you. Somebody loves you. His name is Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that we will be aware. We will be aware that you are on our side 100% of the time. We will cling to your word. We will build our faith. We'll live in this so that our life will reflect your love, and we'll just be a beacon of light into this delusional world. I just thank you, Lord, that we are free from blaming you. We are free from just looking at our own humanity. We are absolutely free from living in fear or denying our rights, our righteousness. We will not hate or embrace unforgiveness, and we will not use reckless words in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You receive this tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Yes. Let's receive our offering.